And the perfect day to sing that, when morning gilds the skies. So, if you have your Bibles there, please open with me to our scripture for this morning. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, and that's Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. And hear now the word of God. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. Now, this is a special time of the year, evidenced by such a beautiful day today. But it's a special time of the year when we see things coming up green, things are sprouting up out of the ground. And there's something that happens in the lives of farmers and gardeners that's very unusual, because it's almost like the sap rising up in a tree, that as the weather gets warmer, there's something that motivates farmers and gardeners to say, I've got to put something in the ground. I've got to plant something. It's time. And I've spoken to several, even this morning, that said, you know, we're amazed because things are already coming up. Ronnie told me that he's already got beans that have come up. I haven't even put mine in the ground yet. And others are talking about potatoes that they have, and they're starting to come up. And it's just kind of an exciting time of the year, you know, for us to be living, us to be alive. You know, just a couple weeks ago that we had freezing weather. And now all of a sudden we have these beautiful warm days and plants are growing. It kind of stirs us to want to go out and plant as much as we can, because we know that a time will come when we'll not only plant, but then it's time to reap and we'll gather it in. And I'm sure in the heart and mind of every gardener, there's this idea and this concept that I'm going to be able to have all these fresh vegetables and all these things coming in. I've been trying to do that for years, you know, and we've had wild animals and voles. And we've had all these other things tearing up, deer coming in, eating all our beans. And we've had all these things. Until I finally got to the point, it's like, from now on, I'm doing my gardening at Sam's. There was an old expression. I didn't learn this until I came out here to Western Carolina, but there's an old expression among our older generation that says this: you grow all you can all you can, and then you sit on your porch. But you know, when you're planting all these things, it's important to know who you're buying them from. Who's producing these? You should always buy from reputable dealers. You know, like going over to Jesse Israel's or a place like that to buy not only the seed that you're going to plant, but also the fruit trees or whatever. It's easy to pick one up at the grocery store. You know, I always see those. There's a section where they have apple trees or peach trees or whatever, and they're a lot less expensive. And, you know, the temptation is, oh, we'll just put it in the ground and see what happens. But I feel like we're always disappointed in those because they're not quality plants. And as a result, they don't produce what we really want them to produce. It's best to spend the extra money to buy something from a reputable dealer. Another old expression, garbage in, garbage out. And if you're planting things that are inferior, you're going to have an inferior crop. It's not worth it. You know something? The very same thing holds true on a spiritual realm, on a spiritual basis. Jesus was always giving illustrations out of everyday life. He would speak about the shepherds and he would relate that to God's kingdom. He would speak about the farmers and he would speak about others, the fishermen. He always used illustrations that related to people. They could grab onto it and they could understand the point that he was trying to make. And in the passage that we read this morning, he was warning his disciples. Now, this was in part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus speaking, and that always carries great weight. Jesus was speaking, and he warned his followers at that time to be careful about who it was that they listened to, who it was that they followed. He said there are those out there that act like sheep when really inside they're ravenous wolves. And you need to be careful who it is that you listen to. You need to be careful about who it is that you follow. Now remember, he was speaking to people that were under the domination of the Roman Empire. But during that time, there was tremendous confusion, spiritual confusion between the Jews, the battles between the Jews and the Romans at that point. And now Jesus came and he was proclaiming something that was different from what they had heard. And so he knew that the people needed to hear a clear voice. Who is it that we should listen to? Who is it that we should follow? And he warned them, now be careful, because not everybody claiming to be God's people are God's people. There's a dividing line there. And he said, the only way that you can really know these people, know who it is by looking at the fruit that comes from them. Looking at the fruit. You know, one of the big things, especially among Christians, is now we're not supposed to judge. Well, when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, judge not lest ye be so judged, he wasn't talking about evaluating a person. He was talking about criticism. Be careful not to be critical of one another. Because if you do, then people are going to use that same standard you were using on them against you. But he wasn't talking about evaluating them, about looking at their life and trying to see, well, are they really the kind of person that I want to walk after? You know, as parents, it's so hard for us when we're dealing with our children, and now as grandparents, with our grandchildren, to try to help them be discerning, especially in the music that they're listening to, and the folk heroes, the little rock stars and whatever that they're so enamored with and they follow after. Because they want to be like them. They want to be popular. They want to be acknowledged for who and what they are. And so they'll follow after them. And in so many cases, they've been misled. And if we could only say, look, step back a little bit and look at their lives. Look at what's coming out of their lives. And I don't have to give you examples. I know that you know in your mind, you're probably thinking of some of them right now. Some of those individuals that were so popular and now they've gone a different way and they've led many astray. That's why Jesus was saying at that point, look, this is important. It's important now that you look at the fruit of a person's life before you follow after them. See what's happening in their life. See the direction that they're heading in their life. You know, the Apostle Paul gave a very similar message, and this was in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Galatians 6, 7 and 8, and he says this. He says, do not be deceived, because God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And he was giving us the same kind of advice. He was showing us that it's important that that we be very careful about what seeds we sow in our lives, in our own lives. You know, a fact of life is that seed always reproduces after its own kind, after itself. Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 says this, "And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its own kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its own kind. And God saw that it was good." This is a principle of life, and that is that we reap whatever it is that we have sown. Jesus was trying to make it very clear. Be careful who you follow. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you buy into, because you're sowing seeds in your own life that will bear fruit. And it's either going to be good fruit or it'll be bad fruit, one of the two. And when Paul says God is not mocked, what he's saying there is that if you look up the word mock in the dictionary, and it says to be insulted, to be fooled. God is no fool, and he's not mocked. He will not be insulted. And so we can do whatever it is that we choose to do and say, okay, God, now I want you to bless it. Just wipe out the negative and give me all the positive. God says, no deal. No deal. You see, because the principle is there, you reap what you sow. And whatever we sow in life, we will reap in life. Some of you are familiar with Charles Stanley. And Charles Stanley had a statement that he made. He calls it one of his life principles. And his life principle was this: we reap what we sow, more than we sow, and later than we sow. Now we all know that Charles Stanley has passed away recently. He's with the Lord. And by the way, that reminds me, we've had several deaths in the evangelical community just recently. Some of you may be familiar with the name Dr. Harry Reeder. Dr. Reeder was the pastor of Christ Covenant Church in Charlotte, and then he went to Birmingham, Alabama, to be the pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. He was a very well-known speaker, conference speaker, and on Friday he spoke at a prayer breakfast, and he was heading back to his office, and there was a dump truck that was making a left-hand turn, and for who knows why, Dr. Reeder didn't see it, and he ran into the back of it, and he was killed instantly. And you know, we lost a great voice in that. Some of you are also familiar with Tim Keller from New York City. And Tim Keller passed away on Friday after a long bout with cancer. And it's always hard to see these people who are standing up for the Lord, to see them leave this earth. And all we can say is, well, Father, it's in your hands. You knew how important he was to so many, both of those men. How important they were, and yet you chose in your own wisdom to take them to be with you. But they sure will be missed. Well, in this, we're seeing that Jesus taught his disciples that whatever a person sows in their life, that will they also reap. I believe that these men are reaping now what they've sown for years in the name of Jesus. And I thank the Lord for them. But God is not mocked. And he said, don't be deceived. God isn't fooled by anything. Whatever we sow in life, that's what we're going to reap. And like Charles Stanley said, we reap what we sow, more than we sow, and later that we sow. Well, we see instances in Scripture where people sow to the flesh. And what does it mean to sow to the flesh? Well, this is the way Paul describes it. This is Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, and he says this: now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. That's what he's saying. These are the things that are sown to the flesh. And unfortunately, we've reached a point, especially in our culture, where people feel like, that's my business. I'll do what I want to do with my life. As if we're giving God a challenge. The truth is, God said, all right, I'm not going to stop you, but you're going to pay for it. You're going to reap what it is that you've sown. It's not that God is taking out a hammer and hitting us with that hammer. What he's saying is, these are the natural consequences of your behavior, of the things that you're doing. If you sow to the flesh, like one person said, if you sow wild oats, don't bother praying for crop failure. And that kind of puts it in perspective. But what does it mean then to sow to the Spirit? Well, Paul in 22, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 gives the other side of the coin. And he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, we start sowing those things into our lives, putting aside the things of this world, the behavior, the beliefs of this world, put it aside and focus our attention, focus our hearts on these nine areas in particular. But more than that, we focus on Jesus, who makes it all possible through his Holy Spirit. And we will reap a different kind of crop. We live our lives in submission to God, submission to God's word. So we reap what we sow, but then we also reap more than we sow. You think about it. You know, I went to the seed store this past week, and I told them I want some of this, I want some of that, and give me an ounce of this and 2 ounces of that. And I went through the whole thing. He poured it all together, and I've got this little tiny bag that I walk out with, and it's got all the seeds in it. And I'm thinking, okay, if I put that seed in the ground, how many vegetables will that grow? What will I have as a result of that? You see, we reap more than what we sow. It's a spiritual principle. Whether it's good or it's evil, we will reap more than what we have sown. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says this. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. It's another spiritual principle. So when we pour ourselves selflessly into God's work, we give to him, we're generous in our spirit, God blesses it in like kind. We didn't sow sparingly, and so we won't reap sparingly. God loves to just pour out his blessing on his people. Look how many times he says that in scripture. God says, you know what? If you'll be honest with me and give to me what I've asked of you, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing onto you. Because that's God's heart. He wants to reward us and bless us when we're faithful to him. The opposite is also true. When we sow sparingly, then we only reap a little tiny bit. Always bothers me when people said, yeah, I tried Christianity for a while and it just didn't work. And I have to think, what Christianity did you try? What were you trying to do there? You see, the Bible tells us that back before Noah, people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. And then God didn't bless it. Well, of course he didn't bless it. When we do that today, when we do exactly what we think we want, God doesn't bless it. And we say, see that? I knew God wouldn't answer that prayer. But when we give him all of our heart, when we surrender to him, God is always faithful to pour out blessing. You know, we hear these great stories of God's provision, and we think, you know, that only happens to missionaries. Yeah, somebody's out on the mission field, and they need more food, and God somehow does this great miracle and brings them a lot of food. That doesn't happen in the United States. That doesn't happen to us as Christians. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It's the same God blessing. The truth is, those missionaries have been put in a point where, in a position where that's all they can do. Somebody said, it's not until you're flat on your back that you can finally look up. Unfortunately, there are times when God has to bring us to that point where we don't have anything. Like someone said, you can't say Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And that's the truth. So the Apostle Paul is making a plea here for us to sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. And he says, from the Spirit, we reap eternal life, eternity. If we sow to the Spirit, we're trading the pleasures and comforts of this world to the next. It's what we might call trading up. Trading up. I remember growing up, my grandmother, who loved the Lord, used to say, there's only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only things done for Christ will last. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. I know many of us here today can look back and say, I can't believe I'm already this age. Where in the world did my life go? Just pew. And here we are. What have we done for the Lord? What have we done to sow His Spirit into our lives? So we reap what we sow. We reap more than we sow, but we also reap later than we sow. Scripture tells us that we'll reap in due season if we don't grow weary, if we don't grow tired. Our problem is that we want instant gratification. We want to be able to do something and immediately see results, and I'm one of the worst for that. I'm a very goal-oriented person. And I'll work hard at something, and then if nothing happens, I don't want to do it anymore. Because I wanted to see that. I worked hard. I want to see the fruit of that. And if I don't see it, I mean, again, I'm talking about a garden here. And, you know, when you work hard and plant a garden, and then you go there the next day, and the animals have come in and eaten everything, and it's like, what am I doing, feeding the whole world here? I mean, but the truth is, you'll reap if you don't grow weary. You figure out ways. You'll reap in due season. This is where the world accuses the Christians of looking for pie in the sky by and by. Oh, yeah, you're giving up the good things of this world. You know, you only go around once in life, so grab all the gusto you can. You're going to trade all that for what? The hope that maybe someday you'll be in heaven? Number one, it's not a hope, it's a promise. And it's a promise from Almighty God, and He will not forsake us. It's not pie in the sky. It's even right here and now. I have to tell you something. I know that there's a heaven, and I know that those who trust in the Lord will be there. But even if there wasn't, the benefits of serving the Lord far outweigh serving this world and serving the enemy. Far outweigh it. Just in the peace and the joy that we have as believers in Christ. But then beyond that, we have the promise of eternity waiting for us. And I think there are two truths that are very evident in the Bible. And one of them is that heaven will be far greater than any of us can imagine. The second truth is hell will be far worse than any of us can imagine. And that's what's being held out to us. In the short time that we have here on this world, to make a decision as far as how do you want to spend your life. Spend it with eternity in mind. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only things done for Christ will last. We reap some now, but we reap a lot more later. That's what he tells us. We're promised that his blessings will be for his people. So, you know, that should be incentive right there that we don't grow weary. We don't listen to this world. We don't follow the ways of this world. We're told in the Bible and Scripture, in 2 Corinthians, we're told to come out from among them and be separate. Be different. We spend so much of our lives trying to be like the world, trying not to be different, because we don't want to be accused of anything. But there's no joy in that. There's no victory in that. It's the ability to be different, to stand on our own, to stand on God's word and say, this is what God commands, and whatever the price I have to pay, I'll pay it. But I want to walk with Jesus. I will walk with him. And he says, don't grow weary in doing good, but continue to do good to everyone. We can do good to everyone because God has been so good to us. But he says, especially those of the household of faith. Treating brothers and sisters in Christ as children of God the way we are. When Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, he said this. He said, the thief comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy. Now, we're thinking about fruit trees here. We're thinking about a tree that bears that kind of fruit. The thief comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy. When we see this happening in our culture, when we see things happening on our streets, people are being robbed, people are being killed, homes are being destroyed. We need to know where it comes from. We need to be able to evaluate the tree that's produced that. We need to stand against it. But then Jesus gave the other side. He said, the thief comes to rob and to kill and to destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundance doesn't mean things. It doesn't mean that we have all of our physical needs met lavishly. The abundant life means that we are fulfilled in life. It's the picture that we're given in Psalm 1 of the tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. It's something that's constantly being nourished throughout its lifetime, and it's able to produce fruit, good fruit. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And maybe today you're feeling beat down, or you're feeling depressed or anguished for whatever reason. The Lord has something better. He has something that will fulfill and that will give you that life that you desire. It's time for us as God's people to be known by our fruits. We should be known as people who are loving, people who are giving, people who are bearing fruit for God, for the Lord. That's so important. Let's be the ones who seek after life and not death. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we are so grateful and thankful that you've called us out of this world. We live in this world, and sometimes it can be so confusing. The desire to conform is so strong. But Lord, you've called us out of this, and you've promised to bless us as we surrender to you and let you live your life through us. And Father, I pray that each person who's here this morning might surrender their heart and soul and spirit to you. I thank you, Lord, that you've called us to this time when we can stand strong on your foundation. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now, if you would, please stand and turn to number 58. He leadeth me. We'll sing the first three verses now, and then we'll sing the fourth one after the benediction. Number 58. Before we do the benediction, I would just like to remind everybody that we have a chat and sip immediately following, and we'll hopefully see you there and can talk with you and fellowship with you. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.